Psalm 119. Apparently, our nursery workers know that this is the longest chapter in the Bible. Five of them called in sick. No, just kidding. But it is the longest chapter in the Bible, dedicated absolutely to the praise of God's word. There's only a couple verses in all 176 that don't directly speak of God's word. There's 22 different stanzas. If you just look at your Bible, you can see it's kind of broke up into different chunks. And those are all letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And then each of those stanzas, not in our English Bibles, but in the Hebrew Bible, each line starts with that same letter in the Hebrew language. So it really is a work of poetry. Speculation says that David wrote it. It's most often attributed to David, but my Bible doesn't say, and I think if it was essential for us to know, it would say. So, I heard several long introductions and commentaries, introductions to this, but I think we should just dig in, see what the Psalm says. So, Psalm 119, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. They have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I would praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." And we'll go through this. Before we do, though, did I forget any big announcements? Men's breakfast Saturday, 8 o'clock. I encourage you guys to come. Me in Romans chapter 12, like 9 through 13, if you want to review that before we come. You guys remember when we went through Matthew and we defined all the Beatitudes, blessed, 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 and we said what blessed means. Anybody remember what blessed means? Happy is, basically. Blessed. Good things have happened. Happy is. But blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. What does it mean to walk in the law of the Lord? Yes, a quiet. To do it, right? Not just be hearers, but be doers. We've talked about letting our lives be the gospel to those around us. But what I love about it is it doesn't say you're going to be discouraged, you're going to be put down, you're going to be made fun of. It says you're going to be blessed. Meaning, do this, those that are undefiled in the way, there's going to be no regrets for doing that. You will be blessed by it. Those who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2 said, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart." So again, not just hearing, not just learning. Nick sent me a video clip this week talking about that very thing, that, you know, we get so proud that we've memorized a section of scripture, you know, or that we've learned this. But Jesus doesn't say, well, I won't say that. The focus is not that we memorize, or the focus is not that we learn. It's that we hear, receive, and actually do it. You know, and that's what this psalm is emphasizing throughout, particularly this first section. Walk in the law of the Lord. Actually walk it out. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Now help me, quiet ones. What would that look like? To just the end of verse 2, who seek him with their whole heart. So modern day application. Tell me what that's about. Just if you're listening online and you think it's a bad sound recording, it's not that at all. What's it look like? Pursue him above everything else. Say it again. Dying to yourself. Okay. Guys can relate to this. Think of any topic that, or hobby that you've had. You know, when you develop a new hobby, mountain biking, for example, or bow hunting, or it becomes obsessive, right? You research it, you study it, you know it inside and out. Any new pursuit. So if we're seeking God with our whole heart, one of the things we're going to be doing is studying this. I don't know for how many of you, when you first came to the Lord, and it was like, it was brand new. You know, but we should be reading it with that same hunger, like we talked about Sunday, as a babe nursing for milk, that would be our prayer. Lord, make it new, make it fresh. But seeking God with our whole heart should include study, right? When you first fell in love, did you call once a week from the road, send a text, maybe? No, it was hours of conversation, right? We did that, right? You want to get to know the person, and they're fascinating, and we still do that. We do. We absolutely do. But life is different now. You know, things have changed. Our kids are at different stages now. But so prayer, that's how we do that with the Lord. What we did here and what we're doing now, worship. You know, that we would worship, express our joy and praise for him. How about fasting? When we're seeking God with our whole heart, that we would set aside things of the flesh, the physical cravings, that we would spend time in prayer and in fasting. What else? I look out, I see some of you guys serving. You know, that's one way we can seek the Lord, is serving him, getting to know him, and getting to know his other kids, his other children. Verse 3 says, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. That goes back to verse 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And then verse 3, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Isn't that a constant competition? To let him be the Lord of our life rather than us be the Lord. Is it fear? Are you guys fearful I'm going to go through all 176 verses at this pace? We're not going to get there, all right, if you're just stunned. They walk in his ways, not our own. Maybe it's not for you. At times, that's a battle in my own life. Wanting to revert back to my own ways or having to purposely redirect myself to his ways. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently, to keep them, not just learn them, not just memorize them, but to actually keep them. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. If I walk this way and I do these things and I seek you with my whole heart, then I would not be ashamed. That's the psalmist is saying, when I compare my life to your law, it doesn't stack up. There's a shortfall in there. There's some shame involved. But that's the whole idea of the law, right? The Old Testament law is for us to look at like a mirror and for us not to see it as a goal. All right, I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm gonna get this, because no one ever short of Jesus has done it. But it's to cause us to recognize our need for a Savior, to understand I can't follow this law. Verse 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And then we go into the next stanza, and this awesome question in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Is that even possible for a young man to cleanse his way? A young guy, notice, we see what it says. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Take heed. It's an old word, but it means to listen and apply. So it's the perfect word. But it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, how can grandma clean up her act? You know, how can we straighten her out? Or how can the homeschooling Christian mom be better? But I think it takes the hardest case study here. A young man, is it possible? It is possible. How? How can that happen? The hardest case that there is. By taking heed according to your word. The Gospel of John. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. John chapter 17. I'm going to read you something. This is Jesus praying for the disciples. Starting in verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you've given me. Isn't it awesome that Jesus prays for us? That they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, or Judas, son of perdition. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. All that to get to verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What does sanctify mean? What is it? To set apart. To set apart, to be made holy. And so the young man, how do we keep the young man and the old man, and the young lady, and the old lady from sin? By taking heed according to your word. Sanctify them. Clean them up. Set them apart. Declare them holy by your truth. Your word is truth. Again, guys, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, listening, and applying according to your word. Again, verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know what I love about that verse? We're starting an Awana program on Wednesday nights here. And one of the big things, if you don't know anything about Awana, know this, that the big emphasis of Awana is memorization of Scripture and application, but learning these things. This verse right here, I probably learned when I was 5 or 6 years old. And you seem to remember those verses more than the ones you try to remember at 26 or whatever I am now, you know? So I'd say 46, but that's a lie too. Verse 11 again. For your word I have hidden my heart. Why? For your word I've memorized. For your word I've put it inside of me, in my heart, where other things compete, but I filled my heart with your word. Why? That I might not sin against you. So if I don't want to sin against God, what should I do? I'm gonna wait. Memorize Scripture. Hide his word in your heart, guys, that it's there. Blessed, verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Teach me. God, I don't get this. I don't understand it. I'm trying to do my one-year Bible or my three-year Bible or whatever, but I don't understand it. And we're going to see throughout this psalm, that's repeated over and over again. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, verse 13, with my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. What do you guys meditate on? What do you think about during the day? Or at night when you're laying in bed and wishing you could set it aside, but your mind races and runs, or you wake up, or you're sitting in church and the guy up front is just going on and on and on, reading the longest chapter in the Bible. What's your mind turning on? I will. Do you see the determination? Remember we talked Sunday about two types of Christians? The one that says, okay, I'm going to come to Jesus now and I'm going to clean up my life and I'm going to do this. And then the other one that I've come to God and God's going to do this and I can sit back and coast and I can still watch this or do that and it's not going to bother me. And both of those lead to failure. That God does his part, we do ours, but this is an application of that. I will. I'm determined in my heart, I'm going to do this. I will meditate on your precepts and I will contemplate your ways. So not only will I think about them, but I'm going to chew on them and contemplate them and look for application in my life. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. What do we delight ourselves in? What do we do for entertainment? You know, you got some downtime. It's Thursday night. Let's see what's on. Or binge watch football. Yeah. What, NASCAR's over? What? God's word should be the greatest influence in our lives. We should be washed in the word. All of you bathe. I was going to say. Most of us bathe appropriately. Meaning, we this morning climbed a mountain. And I took a shower, and so did Nicole, before we came here. But if we had done that, and then I went for a bike ride earlier in the week with Andy, and had I not washed in between, what would happen? You guys wouldn't even notice this shirt, right? You'd come in like 10 feet, and it'd be like, what is that? We need to be washed. We need to be cleansed, cleaned. That's the idea here of this section, guys, is God's word should not just be the greatest influence in our lives, but we need to continue to be washing ourselves in this filthy world with his word. I'll delight myself in your statutes. I won't forget your word. Verse 17, deal bountifully. Deal good, great, bless. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. You get that? The psalmist, this psalm goes in and out, but it's like prayer. He's talking to God and he's saying, let me see it, God. Open my eyes that I'm not just trying to complete a checklist, that I'm not just reading some verses or knocking off a chapter. But let me see the wonder of it. Let me see what you wanted me to see when you preserved this throughout the generations. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks, verse 20, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Is that true for us? Or is our Facebook friends? You know, or when there's an issue or a problem in our life, do we answer shop and we start calling people and, oh, you're not going to believe this, and what should I do? Yeah, but this is saying your testimonies are my delight and your word is my counselors. That's where I go when I don't know what to do or I need counsel. And that should be what happens when you come here or you sit with an elder or one of the pastors and you come for counsel. It shouldn't just be, let me see, and rattle off something, but it should be, let's look and see what the Word of God says on that. Let me show you what the Scriptures say. Here's something I wrote to myself, okay? This is an original, too. It's not what I copied. Our life of this section and of the value of God's Word, our life is the real testimony when our testimony is real. You know, when we're actually walking these things and applying these things, and it's authentic in our lives. Verse 25 says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. You ever feel dry and drained and beat up and out of fuel in this world? Just the front row? Just me? This talks of the word of God should be our source of strength that we go back to. 25 again, my soul clings to dust. Revive me. God, revive me according to your word. I've declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Again, God, teach me what it means. Reveal it to me. Make me understand the way of your precepts so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. Get this other junk out of my mind. God, give me understanding of your word so that I can meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. That word melts there actually means drips, weeps. And we read right over it. But if you guys ever seen it, and I don't say this to, this is not in jest at all, but have you ever seen a grown man cry? I mean, a real, somebody you respect or, and actually weep, that state of brokenness, isn't that sobering? I don't remember many times of seeing my father show emotion. I can't say I didn't see my father show emotion. Lots of times through high school and college, I saw a lot of emotion. When his sister died, and I was just a young boy, and I remember my family is like the biggest stoic manner that you ever saw as far as emotion or compassion or love or any of that stuff. But I remember my dad, when we pulled into the cemetery, he was driving, my mom was there, my sister and I were in the back seat, and suddenly he broke. All the emotion of the week and the fact that this happened and his sister died, and it was real. And I remember it startled me as a kid. And it was, sometimes as a kid, things are awkward, you laugh. None of that was in my mind. It was shocking. And there's been a couple of other times in my life where I've seen a grown man break like that. It's sobering. And that's the idea that the psalmist is trying to communicate. My soul melts from heaviness here, God. Strengthen me. Nothing else will do. Nothing else is sufficient. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Stay with me. We'll just do one more section here. Again, verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, it actually says this throughout the chapter, but starting in verse 44, then he being Jesus, then he said to them, these are words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Jesus opened their understanding that they would get it. It talks about it in Corinthians, that these things are not humanly understood, but they're spiritually understood. And let me encourage you guys, if you don't get anything else out of this study, to do that before you read. And I don't just mean do that before you read because you're teaching Sunday school or you're filling in for a woman's breakfast or a men's breakfast or you've got an opportunity to teach. I mean, your daily devotions, your daily time in the Word. Lord, give me understanding of this. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart, meaning undivided. All these other things that compete and try to destroy and distract. Make me. Wow. Do we mean that? Make me as long as it doesn't hurt. At no cost, Lord. At no sacrifice to me. We might say, help me. Help me not do that anymore. Help me to follow you. Help me to be a good example. What does it mean when we ask God to make us do it? Can we say that at any cost? Lord, whatever it takes. Because I know not only is that the best for your kingdom, but that's the absolute best for me and my family. Make me, God. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Check out verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Is that our prayer? I've mentioned to a couple of the elders, I'm looking at trying to purchase a church package of Covenant Eyes for accountability on the internet, not just for leadership, but to offer it to everybody. I'm waiting on a quote back. But our computer is one example of that, but it's just one. Worthless things that our eyes cause us to stray or are the gateway to us straying away from God. Turn away my eyes from looking at what? Worthless things. And then it says, and revive me in your way. So do you get the connection there, the correlation? As much as I'm looking at worthless things, as much as I'm pursuing worthless things, my heart is drifting away from God. All of those things are competing. So the psalmist says, turn my eyes away from it, God. Don't let me look at the worthless things. Bring that back to verse 35. Make me. Do whatever it takes. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant who's devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. God, get me back to that place of newness and freshness and where you are everything. Revive me in your way. I want to read one other passage I was at earlier. Personally, today, because I think it speaks to this. Have you ever, if you have, I want you to come right up front. You ever struggled with this? All these things the psalmist says, it's like, do this, walk in his statutes, revive me, God. And right in the very beginning of it, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Do this and you're going to be blessed. There's going to be no regrets. It's going to work out. Don't we think sometimes if I become a Christian, I got to give up everything. If I turn my life over to God, it's going to be boring, right? I can't do everything I want to do. I can't do what my buddies are doing. I can't go out. I can't. But this says there's walk undefiled in the way and you're going to be blessed. There's going to be no regrets. It's the most fulfilling. It's the best that life can be. But we look at it, or sometimes we think of it as like a risk, or I'm giving stuff up, and or this is really, really hard, and is it going to be worth it? It's not going to work. You know what? I've tried it before, and I've blown it, and I've had to come back, God. In Isaiah, and I'll end with this, I promise. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Praise the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Guys, just let's look at this fresh and new. Okay, like when you first came to Christ or you first started reading the scriptures and you read even this for the first time and it was like refreshing and like, oh, that's so awesome. He's not like me. I don't understand. God's a mystery. We're not the same. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, said the Lord. Whereas the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. God's word is cool. Let me read the rest of it. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So whatever issue you're dealing with, whatever trial you're in, and the psalmist says, let this be your comfort. Let this be your greatest source of hope. Let this be your counselor. Let it be the answer. And Isaiah says, God says through the prophet, again, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that it will not return void. My word's not going to fail. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. No regrets, guys, when we follow what the psalmist has instructed us to. Seek him with our whole hearts. That's my encouragement. And if you've struggled with it and Bible readings become a chore, then tonight, or tomorrow morning, when you open up the scriptures, Lord, teach me. Give me understanding. Make it fresh. Make it new. Help me to understand that this book is living and powerful and has application for today in my life. Let's pray. Lord, I'm amazed and grateful and in love with your word. Lord, thank you that it is the answer. And I don't have to be all that smart to do what I do. Just point people to you. Point people to your word. It accomplishes your will, your purpose. You fulfill every promise. Lord, give us the faith to believe that and to apply it and to live it, that our testimony would be real, that we would care about the lost enough to ask you to make this real in our life, to make us follow your statutes. Lord, that our motivation would not be law, but would be love for you, for the lost around us, the example that we set for those that are watching. Father, bless these folks as they head home tonight, Lord, as they meditate on your word. Lord, give us greater understanding of it. That is our prayer. Lord, we pray in unity in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.